Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Net meets weekly, frequency 146.955. The repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club on 2 years here in Alpine, New Jersey. Any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo at this time. Okie dokie, good. Nothing hurts like that. Okay, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net meets weekly for the purpose of carrying out a discussion about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, electricity, anything in our society, either of those things, just pretty much everything. If you really want to talk about it, just have to tie it back in. We'll have a wonderful conversation. The net has its own way of carrying out a conversation. It's a little different than other nets. First of all, any radio amateur who's got a license to transmit in the 2-meter band in the United States is more than welcome to participate. You do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association or any other club for that matter. However, you do have to have an interest in the topics we discussed a moment ago. So, we would like you to check in whether or not you have a question or a comment, because your presence adds value to the net, because we might be able to call upon you, you might have something that crosses your mind, and we'll, you know, again, we might actually ask your opinion about something someone else brings up, and we need to know you're there in order to do that. Additionally, you might have some skills that you hadn't really thought about, and we know about, and we might ask you to comment on something specific that may come up. I'm W2TTT Gordon, and I'll be your net control this evening. The way we check in is I will call in an organized way by call sign group. For check-ins, I will ask for your call sign, your name. And then you need to say whether or not you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. So let's, with no further ado, begin. Any station whose call sign begins with the letter A for Alpha. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question or comment, both or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, Alpha Alpha 2 November India, name is Nico, no questions, none of the above.
Very good, Nico, welcome aboard, stand by net. Alrighty, very good. So, Nico, welcome aboard, A2NI, alright. Any other Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, any, let's see, Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, Don, in the comment.
No comment.
Alrighty, again, we have two questions, two people there. Don, good evening with your comment. Who's station double with Don?
W-A-2-B-A-I. No comments. Over.
Good evening, Thomas. Okay, W-A-2-C-A-I. Very good. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys?
W-E-2-R, Charlie. No questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie, W2R, very good. Any other whiskeys? Okay, Kilo 2s.
K2RIW.
Good evening, Dick. Good hearing you. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
No, I don't, Gordon. I'll be mostly listening.
Yoki, welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2BAR. This is K2ZO.
Good evening, Jim. Do you have any questions or comments for the net?
Yes, I have a question. And kind of simple one, but just want to ask a few the people what they've been using for certain modes, okay?
That'd be wonderful. We'll get to it in a few moments. Any other Kilo 2s?
Here's K2AMI, Tony. A comment, but no questions.
Okay, Tony, I have your comment so noted. Any other Kilo 2s?
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Golf Oscar, and control. I have no questions or comments.
Okay, I'll get the KC2. I'll get the more complex ones. Any other K2s? Okay, KC2WGO, your name, and do you have questions or comments for the net?
No, Gordon. Name is Jim, and I don't have any questions or comments at this point. Just listening.
Okay, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilos? Any form of Kilos?
Marco, no questions or comments.
Wow, I got almost a perfect double. Kilo Charlie 2, Zulu Mike Alpha, I believe. That was you, Marco. I think it's Zulu Mike Alpha, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, no questions, no comments for the net?
No.
Okay, who is the station who doubled Marco before?
This is KC2WQD, John. No questions or comments.
Okay, John, welcome aboard. Nice to hear you in here as well. Any other Kilos? Okay, let's see, November stations. Any November stations, please call with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is M2OEL. No questions, no comments.
Wowie kazowie. Welcome aboard, Noel. It's the second week in a row you've made it in right at check-in time. Very good. Any other Novembers?
And it's 2K, Jim, and I'll throw in a question.
Good evening, Jim. Your question's so noted. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, well, welcome aboard. Before we continue, I'm just going to check for any other call signs, and then I'll check echolink. Any other call signs? Would anybody like check-ins? Any call sign format, please call K2BAR. All right, anybody via echolink, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Nothing heard on the echolink side, so... Alrighty. Make sure echolink is up. That's the other thing. I'll check that while we're carrying on here. Alrighty. So we have a wonderful gathering of folks today. A couple of guys who've never checked in. My lord. Let's see. I think John WQD and Nico AA21I, you've never checked in before. Dick, you've checked in a few times, if I recall. And of course, Marco and Jim WGO, I think, have checked in before, but if not, I know Marco has for sure, and I think Jim WGO has as well. That's very good. Nice little gathering. So, let's see where we go from here. Our first comment actually is going to come from W2JEK. So, Don, over to you. K2BAR.
All right, K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Just to let everybody know that I'm having a test session on Friday the 21st at the Westwood Regional High School at 7 p.m. And the test fee will remain at $15.
And if anybody's studying for the general, there's going to be a new set of questions as of July 1st. So if you are studying for the general now, make it a point to get tested before the end of June. And that's about it for this time around. Back to net, W2JEK.
Very good, Don. That's very, very good. Yeah, one other point for those who might not remember where that is. It's the same high school where the Barra Hamfest is. It's also where the Barra Auction, which is in March, will be. And one other event, let's see. Oh, Kid Night. That's where we have Kid Night on Tuesdays, during the summer, and when school's not in session. So very good. Any other questions or comments for Don regarding test sessions? Okay, very fine. K2ZO, Jim, your question, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. And they do hello to K2RIW there. So I'm getting an award. Actually, I was at the ARRL dinner. I was the guy at the microphone when he got the other award, so I was there for both of them. Very good. Congratulations. Simple question. Well, maybe it's not too simple. I was about ready to start using all my good stuff here for the digital modes. What I wanted to find out is what programs people are using. I'm familiar with some of the ones in MTTY and stuff like that, but I was just curious as to any pros and cons. Anybody have any things I should look out for or not try to use or whatever? We're mainly going to do a little bit of RIDI and PSK31, but just be curious what people are using.
Okay, I'm going to withhold my answer. I'll see what other people use first. Anybody wish to take that one? AA2NI?
Four.
Right, Nico first, and then there's another station. Go ahead, Nico.
Roger, AA2NI. I use HRD with the BM780. It's a combination. Everyone complains that it has too much in it. I have no problem using it. It takes a while to load and get used to the macros and stuff, but after that, it's an easy sailing. Over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a nice program. Alrighty. Anybody else?
WE2R.
Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been using DigiPen on PSK31, and it's the only one I've ever used, but it's real easy and a lot of fun.
Yeah, very good choice. Anybody else?
AC2WQD.
Whiskey Quebec Delta, go.
Yeah, I know I'm probably not a good source of information since I just loaded the HRD and Digital Master 780 on my computer. And, I just plugged in some connections and started listening to PSK31 all over the place. I mean, you know, I did it without reading the manual or anything, so it's really pretty easy to use, I have to say. I haven't started transmitting anything yet. I've got to get hook it up, but very intuitive, I thought. And, you know, I really just turned it on and started using it. Back to that.
Very good. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's see. I've been known to use a couple of different programs. I've been using MixW2, actually, 2.2 version. And I also have used DigiPen. I like them both. The one thing nice about MixW is that the support's a little more current, whereas DigiPan, I think it's somewhat frozen in time at this point. There's some things I like about DigiPan better. One of them is the multi-thread, and basically you can actually decode multiple PSK31 signals in parallel. But I think as a operating program for one thing or another, I'm just as cool with running MixW as anything. I have not used DM780 other than to fool around with a little bit, primarily because I just never settled on HRD for my ham shack, although I probably should at some point. MMTY is very good if you like RIDI, etc., Jim. And it's supported by N1MM if you're in a contest mode. So there's some advantages to that. Each one of these packages has their own little advantage. The other is WSJT package for meteor scatter. It's very, very cool as well if you're up on the higher bands. Anybody else want to add anything? Any add-ons from anybody who's already spoken? Alrighty, K2ZO, back to you.
Okay, very good, K2BAR, K2ZO. Okay, one of the things that I was scratching my head over was it worth taking all the time and effort to learn the Ham Radio Deluxe? It seemed to be, of course, a little bit more complex, but it seemed to do a lot more. And, you know, it has, I guess basically it has with it and its other things like the DM780 or so, all of what you would really need. So I guess really what I'm doing is being a little bit lazy and trying to grab something that I know I'll be happy with and won't want to change after I've learned it, and I guess the HRD Ham Radio Deluxe might be the one. We'll see. Anyway, I've downloaded it and I started to fool around with it, only in through my little software defined receiver that I bought. So I've got a lot to learn. Back to that, K2ZO.
Yeah, I think there's something that, shall we say, HRD offers that, let's say, a program like XW or DigiPan don't offer, and that is that they're a complete logging and operating environment, not limited to digital operations. So lots to be said about that. There's a lot of little plug-in modules in the in that suite. Let's see, there's, oh Lord, what do they have? I'm trying to remember now what else is in that. There's a telnet window. There's a packet cluster window. There's a few other elements in there that are very, very cool. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for it, Jim. My lethargy on getting it working is that I have laptops that I often use that end up in the field, and they end up in the field with a different radio than the one I started with, often with different serial port configurations. So as a consequence, it's not as neat and pretty as it needs to be, you know. I've also, you know, played the game of SO2R and a few other things, you know, single operator two radio. The other thing I've been trying to play with, and I started talking with Steve Holly, WI2Q, about, is running two copies of HRD configured with different serial ports or different USB ports with a, a Rig Blaster Duo, and sharing a common log. I have everything working except the common log. So I got a little bit of work to do on that. And once I do that, I think I'll probably just settle on HRD for an SO2R kind of configuration. where that configuration, by the way, will be either 6 meters, 6 meters, or HF, or 6 meters and 2 meters, or some, probably 6 and 2 meters, driving with the, through the courtesy of transverters, with the AirPro 3 or Pro 2. So, pardon me, guys, I ate dinner a little over an hour ago and left me with the sleepies. I'm so far from being able to go to bed, it doesn't matter, so I'll be up for a few more hours. So this is a pleasant diversion in keeping me up. So, anybody else have any comments for Jim? Alrighty. Well, the one thing, Jim, I have not tried is DigiPan 32, and that's something else to think about as well. I haven't tried that at all. I have it. It's not configured correctly, so I really can't comment extensively about it, but that's another interesting logging program. So, back to you, K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay, very good. Well, the other thing, of course, is to pick a logging program to use. I've used a few different ones, not been really, settled down on either one of them. I really need to do that too. So maybe putting it all in together with the HRD, since it does do the logging, might be it. So I guess they just got to bite the bullet and do some reading and learning. You mean I can't use the old paper logs anymore? Guess not. Yeah, I still have a few old log books here. Well, thank you. Anyway, back to that. K2BAR, K2ZO. Thanks.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, actually, there's many. There are a couple of log pages from my first days as a ham back in the newbie 70s, 75 actually, that I can remember. I can visualize the call signs on there. really can. But, call signs were WA2ZNT, WA2OPY, WB2CUT, still around. So is Joe, Josephine. Her husband's call was in there. I can envision them, but unfortunately those logbooks were lost. But I can actually remember the, the Passaic Valley Traffic and Emergency Net on 2 meter AM on 14571. And my first contact, WB2EDW. So, yeah, at some level I would appreciate having those log pages back. I think in a more modern world, if I had had them electronically and then backed up off-site, I'd probably still have those calls to refer to, those logs entries to refer to. I would have liked that. But, alas, that's not to be. Alrighty. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, then let's see. Are there any other additional check-ins before we continue? Alright. Very good. K2AMI, Tony, you had a comment for the Mets. It's called K2BAR with your comment.
Well, just an alert to all the avid DHFers we have on our frequencies. And that next weekend, the 22nd and 23rd, is the ARL DHF contest. And it starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and it runs to 11 o'clock on Sunday night, the whole weekend. No limitation on time or hours you can put in, only your physical body and honeydews in the family. I am going to send out a kind of notification of what frequencies are going to be used and what time. I sent it up to Phil tonight, and he'll send it out in the near future. But get your equipment tuned up, guys. And everybody here, I'm sure, has got a 2-meter radio. And if you just go to 2-meter FM and operate on the FM frequencies, and granted, you may not get anybody responding the first time you call, that doesn't mean there's nobody out there. It just means they're busy doing something else. So please hang in there and try a couple times on the 2 meter FM frequencies to locate some contest stations. Hopefully we'll get enough contest stations. I think we need 3 or 4 in Vara to enter them as a contest log. We're not going to have an overwhelming score in the contest division, but we might have enough people to have a notification that we have a large number of VARA members or VARA stations entering it's Bergen ARA when you enter your log. I'm going to try to put in some hours, but I've become very limited lately. I can't get all my enthusiasm up to hang in there any more than my body will tolerate, so I won't be there all the time or all night. Back to net.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah. 2 p.m. on Saturday, a week from this Saturday, to 11 p.m. on Sunday. It's a whole lot of fun. You can use any frequency except for repeater frequencies and 146.52. Other than that, it's a free-for-all. In fact, I remember in the January VHF sweepstakes in 1977, I was in RIT in Rochester. Operating K2GXT, we had a pair of 22 element, well, we had a pair of 11 element for a total of 22 elements on FM, and we were talking to Toronto across the lake, and a couple of points I was able to actually contact RPI and a few other stations over in Albany, and stations in Ohio on 2 meter FM. That was a rip. That and 6 meter sideband. We had a great time. And then I had I forget what the model was, but it's an old hybrid tube and transistor sideband rig for 2 meters. It must have had a vicious noise figure. And I stuck it on the 22 element vertically stacked 2 meter array, and didn't do badly at all. A lot of the technicians in those years still had vertical polarization. We couldn't use 144 megahertz. We had to stay at 145.1 in order to operate 2 meter at 2 meter sideband CW. So it was a riot. Had a great time. It really did. Anyway, and many other times like that as well. Let's see. And those are back. Speaking of old home week with K2REW being there. When I was in high school, I remember cracking open his articles on the cover of QST, I think it was, with his 432 dish doing EME. And what was nice about QST through most of my high school years was that my QST and all the ham magazines fit inside most standard school textbooks. When they went to the larger format magazine style printout, you know, printing format, they no longer fit inside the textbooks. You couldn't read the ham magazines during boring classes in high school. Very, very, very sore point. I think that it impacted amateur radio just as much as incentive licensing. Okay, hi. All right. Let's see. Any other comments for Tony about the upcoming VHF contest a week from Saturday?
J.E.K.
Donald, go right ahead.
I think everybody should try, you know, if you do get on, I think Tony's going to say like 146.58 would probably be the FM frequency. Try to work as many VARA members as you can, number one. Not just Tony, but say, oh, I work Tony and that's all. Work for some of the other guys, like Bennett will probably be out there, and there might be some other people out there, too. And also, send in your information to Phil, W-A-2-L-X-C. Even if you only make a couple contacts, that's just a couple more contacts, a couple more points that we have that will bring us up in the standings in the club scores, because he sends in a club score, so... Let him know about what you've done, too. And that way he can send an entry in for you also if you don't wish to do it yourself. So it will be
recognizes a good club squad. I mean, we've got about 100 members here, and even if half of them came out, you could get extra points. Now, thing is with me, I do 6-meter sideband and or CW, but I use the 2-meter FM to grab myself a couple more grids, the 2-meter grids, and a few more points from the 2-meter contacts. If I can get the 4 grids that we're right close to here, that's, you know, that's 4 more grids than I'll have if I just relied on the 6 meters. So that's why 2-meter FM is important. Everybody should get on. And again, there's the ride around Rivervale. I guess some people used to do that. I don't know if you want to do it in this weather or not, but the things to think about. Back to net, W2JEK.
Yeah, absolutely. Grid circling is fun, but make sure that you operate and you operate from, you know, work as many different stations, not just Barra members. Work everybody you hear. It's all good, and it's a lot of fun. It becomes a little infectious, too. Just take a little yellow pad, write down your calls and what grid you are in. Just one reminder, if you do go in your mobile, you can work the same station again as long as you change grids or they change grids, and you need to submit a log, essentially, or collect a log for each grid from which you operate. If you like, for instance, live in FN20 and you operate from FN20, then you go to FN21, you collect a second log from FN21. Each one is calculated separately and then summed. Now, if you go to another grid, you could divide that and so on. If you operate from 3, 4, 5 grids, all is good that way. But what Don's referring to is that 4 different grids come together in some poor lady's backyard in Rivervale. So if you are northeast of the center of Rivervale, basically, you're in FN31. If you're southeast, you're in FN30. If you're southwest, which is most of northern New Jersey, a good chunk of eastern Pennsylvania, you're in FN20. And if you're northwest of that point, you are in FN21. So it's all good. Any further questions about operating the contest a week from Saturday, 2 p.m.? Alrighty. By the way, my first VHF contest was in 1976 from 155 East 76th Street, and I had a wire beam on 2 meters and a wire beam on 6 meters strung out against some poles just above the water tower, shall we say, structure in my apartment building. I operated for a few hours from the stairwell of the very much unheated stairwell. It was indoors, but with the door open at the top to let the coaxes flow out. I literally climbed up on the top of the water tank and stuck wire supports out and kind of rigged it up, and it was miserable. It was fun, though. Anyway, so worked about half a dozen stations. I thought I was the king of the world on 2-meter and 6-meter AM. Anyway, anybody else, please call K2BAR. Oh, and by the way, I was 17 years old, and that would be 36 years from now. 36 years ago. God, help us all. Alrighty. Any other check-ins for the net before we continue on? This is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Please call. Alrighty. NS2K, Jim, over to you. K2BAR.
See if I can remember here. K2BAR, NS2K, NS2K. There we go. Kind of a weird sort of almost religious question here. With neither Field Day or VHF contest or any of the other events, I'm wondering what the degree of acceptance might be with what clearly is a very rapidly expanding trend with that is toward the use of a an SDR type rig, possibly Flex Radio, where they now have a well, not only excellent performance on HF, but they now have a VHF UHF 2 meter 440 module for their 5000 family. Wondering how that might fly, how much resistance, and whether it might actually be worth it as far as any change or improvement in performance or whatever. NS2K.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, the first answer to your question is it's a statement, and that is get out of my head. Well, I had put up for sale several of my transverters over the last couple of years, and for one reason or another, they just never sold. And I am actually hunting around as we speak for the, what do you call it, a 1500 to use as an IF strip with my transverters. It in itself is a 10 watt, I think, or 1 watt or 10 watt radio. I think it's 1 watt now I think about it. I'll have to go back and look. But Marvel's little toy, through 6 meters, and as long as it can transmit up at 30 megahertz, I can use it with my 222 transverter, which was an old 220 transverter that was never recrystalled, just realigned for a 222 output with a 30 meg input instead of a 28 megahertz input like it is for my 432 transverter. So yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that, and I guess the question comes, you know, you need enough horsepower to operate the radio and to do its, the SDR functions. But on top of that, you need enough horsepower to drive, the logging program, to drive, software decoding of various digital modes, et cetera, et cetera. So, that's the part that it doesn't come unglued on, but I think it requires some thought. And further, if you're an SO2R kind of person like me, you've seen some of the automation schemes I've put up together over time. Let me drop it. If I want to go from 6 meters to 2 meters, but I want to keep listening on 6 meters while on 2 meters, or if I'm going to 432 or 222 or I'm going to 1296 or 903, or 2304, how do I keep those things going? And, what are the software requirements, and can you run multiples, with any kind of sensible efficiency on a single machine without having some, desktop machine that's, a gamer would consider acceptable for their most demanding performance. You don't want to get into that. But that's kind of the question. I think a lot of these solutions right now tend to be single-ended, one band, one mode at a time. So what happens if you want to be multi-band, operator? How does that work? But even within the context of a single band, there are a lot of things that are going to need some horsepower out of your laptop or your desktop machine. Anybody else have any questions or any comments on this topic? Please call K2BAR.
K2-0.
Don first. JK, go.
I think one of the things that I've seen in some of the recent contesting rules, they have this new thing, there's a CW out there, with a CW skimmer, they call it, where you can have on the side of your computer screen all the call signs of all the stations that are up and down on the side of the screen and where they're located. And I think they either prohibit that depending on the rules, or they're going to have that into when you enter an assisted category. It's as though you were using the spotting functions on a spotting website. In that respect, with this, not just for software-defined radio, but again, you're going to see, what you said, where you draw the line on this thing. You've got one of these new modern radios, like the better ICOMs, where you have the, some of the others that have that screen on there, like a pan adapter. Is that seeing where stations are located? Is that a, that is, you know, is that an assisted thing or not? As far as the operating goes, I think they usually say if you're a single operator, you're going to have one transmitter on the air at a time. Depending, you can listen to five if you want to, but you only be sending one signal at a time. I think that's the way the rules go as far as that part of it goes. Back to that W2JK.
That's an interesting question. Are you an assisted operator at that point? We'll come back to that. K2ZO, go ahead.
Yeah, K2BAR, K2ZO. Well, it is going to be very interesting. Jim's question is very interesting because the big contest stations, K3LR and stuff like that, I think are a ways from going over to all SDR-type equipment. However, my little SDR receiver, the SDR IQ, has a receiver in it, of course, you know, including, of course, the computer. That's as good as anything in my brand new ICOM 7600. It's amazing. So the answer is there. It's, you can really get some great performance out of these things. I think it's going to be a little while before we really see a multi station running all software-defined radios. But I'm sure it's going to be there, and I think the rules are going to end up changing in order to accommodate some of the things like the assisted class and all that stuff. But it's certainly an interesting situation with amateur radio, and of course there were some great topics at the Ham Radio University on last Sunday, in reference to things like HRD and, of course, software-defined receivers. Very, very interesting. So, who says amateur radio is stagnant? Back to that, K2ZO.
I've got a question for you, Gordon.
Yeah, Jimmy, good points all around, and we'll come back to the assistant question in a minute. Go ahead, Dick.
I have the impression from what I've just heard that some of the people using software-defined radios, this is K2RIW, by the way, that when you're using a software-defined radio, you could, if you desire, tell it, if it has the right capability, to listen to multiple frequencies at once. That could either take the form of scanning multiple portions of one particular band simultaneously, or scanning multiple bands. And if that's true, if SDR systems can do that, my next question is going to be, do they do it by putting the signals truly in parallel with each other into one single detector, in which case you're getting multiple sources of noise, and therefore degrading the signal-to-noise ratio somewhat, but listening to multiple frequencies at once, and hopefully not missing the rare one you're looking for? Or do they do it by some form of timeshare process by which they slowly or rapidly hop between the various frequencies? So if SDR can do that, does anyone know a little more details as to how it does it, which one of the many methods? Over to you, Gordon, K2LIW.
Well, actually, I would sort of say it's one detector and all done in parallel using time division multiplexing, but not the way you normally think of it. Unless, of course, you're talking about process threads in a computer. That's pretty much what's going on. So let's think about this. You're taking a chunk of bandwidth, and you're evaluating it. And you're evaluating it for certain characteristics at various raster intervals, either dynamically selected or automatically selected, or in, you know, specifically selected by an operator who sees a signal and therefore, you know, goes out there and says, look here, 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 and here in this passband. Do it simultaneously. Decode whatever you find, and if there's enough horsepower, determine what mode it is, and, you know, pick the appropriate software modules or software subroutines to decode each of the streams within the selected passband. So they're all going into one digital signal processor simultaneously, and then once, you know, put in digital form, they're crunched up really, really fast and spat out as either audio or printable data or computer data, whatever is being done. So, with that in mind, still one detector. Having said that, let's go back to Don's point. Don said there's a kind of a sweeper kind of application out there. I don't know if it's used with SDR or not, but it basically sweeps the band looking for CW signals and gobbles them up and tells you who's where and what's what, and then essentially acts as its own, for lack of a better term, its own DX cluster where you're the point of reception. I frankly, from a station viewpoint, don't see that as any different than a station tuning the dial and going, oh, okay, there's K3LR up, there's, you know, W1QK, there's here, you know, and so on as you go down the band. I don't see that as any different than manually tuning it. The only difference is you've got some robotics involved. In fact, I can remember the same argument being made over voice keyers, you know, back in the 70s, and even CW keyers in the 60s and 70s. So, I don't know. Should you ban any form of automation? Do we require a straight key and a paper and pencil and your ears? I don't know. You tell me. Let's see. Who do we go back to? K2ZL, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, very interesting interesting discussion. And just throw one thing in there. some of the old-timers, the old DX guys, when they saw the cluster, they said to me, you can't use that. That's cheating. You can't do that. You're supposed to be listening for them all. And of course, the answer is it's not cheating. Everybody does it. But it is interesting. But the thing that I guess if you get back to it in terms of automation of a station, if you remember the old octopus that was used by a number of the high contest clubs, high score contest clubs, that was the first thing to be outlawed. So knowledge here is that the octopus was a system that allowed a number of people to be listening on a band at a one time. And the minute one guy would transmit, it would lock out all the others. And so that's how they got around the one station per band. So you could have five people on 20 meters with an octopus, and the octopus was all tied together. So when you hit the push the talk button, it locked out all the others. They couldn't transmit. And, of course, the ARRL said, no, can't do that. So that's my comments. Back to that, K2ZO.
Could that have been considered a multi-operator operation for a VHF contest?
Don't know. It was, I guess the big use of that was the field day operation of the PBRC.
Yeah, that was an HF problem, Dick. But yeah, I mean there were similar issues on VHF contests, whether it was a single op or a multi op. You could only put one signal on a band. if you are multi. And you can only put one signal out, period, at a time if you were single op. Because if you remember, until maybe 10 or 12, 15 years ago, somewhere in there, I can't remember when they actually came down on that, you were only allowed one signal for a single operator station. Because your guys like yours truly, QRP Portable, would take one keyer, one CW keyer, and literally lash. I had a phono jack seal that was all bussed together, and I had my keyer on it, and I would literally just jumper over, to whatever radios I wanted to have calling CQ simultaneously. So I could call CQ on, let's say, 432, and maybe 1296 or 903 simultaneously. So at one point I had four or five exciters. And they said, no, you can't do that. So eventually I had to get separate laptops or desktop machines for each band and sequence them. So when one would, I forget what those things are called, but the one where you have the cups of water and you start banging on them, or you start rubbing the edges of the cups, but the glasses, but to produce musical tones. So I'd go banging on one, the second one would stop transmitting, I'd bang on the next one, I would go bink, wait 10 seconds, hit the next one, wait 10 seconds, hit the next one. And meanwhile, I just keep listening on the previous ones I called CQ on, in a rotation. I actually use a multi-ear headset, a stereo headset to help drive all that. And that's how you are successful, QRP Portable, so that's how you're successful in any operation, if you're a single op. NS2K, I'm going to come back to you in a minute, but Dick, did that answer your question?
It answers many of my questions, although I've got a few more when you've got some time. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. I'm going to make one other comment, and then I want to go back to this data, what I'll call the data mining, is I want Don to explain that more, and then we'll go back to Jim to see how it all reflects on him, but or his original question, see where he wants to take it. But, one of the things that I learned very quickly was if you had a decent, and it didn't have to be the best, but a decent station, and you could arrange the human factors to be as automated as possible for that one band and make it as identical as possible to the next band as far as where your key was, how you selected it, how you did your voice keyer, where your straight key was, if you had a dedicated straight key, in case all your automation failed, you had a straight key. And, whether it's one key or multiple keys, because everything was absolutely identical. It simplified your operations. It simplified your wiring. Everything was color-coded in my shack. In fact, I still have to this day these four phono connector harnesses kicking around. They're not part of my transverter setup anymore, but they were black, red, green, and yellow. And each one was a band, and with four identical TS-140s, which are, again, not the best radios in the world, a little too much phase noise for my taste, but they were affordable. I could have three or four of them. I had a 680, which was the 6-meter version. And I literally could put out a signal. I could wire it. I could physically configure it the same way. So that way, if something blew up, I would know where to go look to see if something came loose. The muscle memory, even on maintenance and repair, was identical. So that made for a shorter setup time, easier debug time when things went bad, and in actual operation, it made for a smoother operation because you reached for the same buttons in the same places, no matter how tired you were, no matter how exhausted you were. So now let's extrapolate that to the digital signal processing thing that we're discussing here. So how would you extrapolate, a Flex 1500 or a Flex 5000, in multi-band mode, let's say two bands, let's keep it simple, to do that. The Flex 5000 offers a second receiver. Is that make it a, is that, how's that different than Octopus? If I have somebody who's a logging operator at my station, how is that different than the old Octopus days? Think about that while you're chewing on it. NS2K, your turn. K2BAR.
Seem to have stirred it up here, eh? Anyway, yeah, no, you can even go, you've got both two receivers, and you can add, of course, the VHF, UHF tuner portion of it. You can, depending upon what band you're on, you could actually be putting the two receivers on the same band or two different bands, maybe the same portion of the band, maybe looking in different modes. I suppose you could be doing sideband and CW at the same time in, say, you know, different parts of the same band. Anyway, there are so many possibilities here. If you were doing PSK and CW, you could run what amounts to a skimmer type function in both modes. Anyway, you can cover a tremendous amount of ground, at least on the receive side, with detailed readout on everything going on in fairly substantial swaths, either 96 or 192 k-wide swaths of the band. All kinds of possibilities here. NS2K.
AK. Go ahead, Don.
One thing, now you got this computer tied in, you got the skimmer thing. Now, if you got the skimmer set up to talk to the logging program, and the ones that you haven't worked yet come up in red, big red letters, and the ones that have worked are in blue letters, now you got the computer working for you, telling you this is the guy you haven't worked yet. Now you're getting into a gray area with that. It's almost there now. I mean, when you call somebody on, you hear somebody on your, just calling CQ. You type in his call into the computer, and you say, well, you need him or you don't need him. And now it's being done for you by the skimmer. Like I say, it can be a gray area as to how much this automation compared to the guy with the pencil and the paper and the straight case. Back to that, W2JK.
Well, you know, I guess the question is this. Does it go out and actively skim for you? And the answer is, in this case, yes. As opposed to, you've worked them on a certain frequency, and it tags that frequency where you've worked them and puts a little flag on there and turns it blue. And then, as you, you know, have noted locations of other stations, and you've typed them into your log window, and it notes the frequency that you have at the time, and you're checking to see if you've worked them, so you type the call sign in, it turns it flashing red. Well, if you don't work them, but you noted them to be on a certain frequency, you can maintain that red flag, if you will, on that call sign, on that part of the band, and then continue to tune somewhere else. But when you come back to that frequency, it'll put that call sign in automatically for you and let you either overwrite it because that station's moved on and somebody else is there, or you can go ahead and work them, and it saves you the time to re-enter the call a second time. I don't see a problem with that mode. I do see a subtle difference in what you call the skimmer function, where it actually goes out and, you know, pans the band and then scans for calls. Tries to decode them and figure it out. In digital modes, it's a lot easier. In analog modes, it's a little harder, but nonetheless doable for a lot of people. Honestly, if people start using voice keyers, with voice recognition software, I don't even see a reason why that can't be done with analog voice, single